Tucson, good morning to you. Happy Friday, April the 3rd. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. You're listening to Tipping Point, in-depth in news and conversation about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. You know, the last couple of weeks, I've gotten to the end of the week and have been very glad it's Friday. I was telling John this, not every Friday. It's not like I come into Fridays and go, yay, it's Friday. I like what I do. I love what I do. But the weight of etched everything right now, I think, is on everybody's mind. And the last couple of weeks I've been getting to Friday and going, you know what, you know, that 2-day break, I can use that. I always come in Monday fired up, ready to go, but boy, by the time I get to Friday lately, I am ready to take a breath and come back stronger and better than ever on Mondays. But I hope you're having a good Friday. I hope you remember that it's Friday, in case you didn't know. And it's okay if you don't. The days are running together these days. It is Friday. It is April the 3rd, not March the 35th. It marches over, thank God. It is Friday, April the 3rd. Welcome on in. Tucson, you've made this week amazing. The phone lines have been lit up. You've been calling in. We've been talking. We've been chatting. Please know the door is always open for you, 790-2040. If I wanted to just talk, I would go in a closet in my room somewhere and talk into a mic and put this somewhere else. I do this because it's an opportunity for us to have a conversation day in and day out about the issues that matter the most to us. So please know you can jump in anytime, 790-2040. You can also catch all the podcasts while I'm at all that stuff. Let me say KVOI.com, iTunes, Google Play Music. You guys have been blowing up the podcast too. Boy, the amount of downloads on that thing lately is just going through the roof right now. And I'm grateful for that. You want to listen to local talk. I do my best. I appreciate you listening. So KVY.com, iTunes, Google Play Music, look for Tipping Point with Zach Yenser. You can listen back to all of our shows. You can skip around, listen to parts, listen to all of it, whatever you want to do when you're cleaning your house, going for a run, working out, not at a gym, but working out this weekend. Take a listen there. Rebecca Dieterman will be my guest on Tipping Point in just a few minutes. The Wall Street Journal profiled her for a nationwide series on how young professionals live across the country. And one of the profiles, there's only a few of them, I think five or six, one of them was Tucson, and one of them was Rebecca Dieterman. She works at the University of Arizona. And we were on the phone this morning. I said, Rebecca, I want to talk about why you're here. You're here in Tucson on purpose. What's going on well? But let's also talk about what could be better. What fears do you have? What concerns do you have? We're going to encourage young professionals to stay in Tucson. But what do we also need to work on to make sure that that's possible? The spot in the Wall Street Journal is titled "Blank on $50K a Year." Tucson on $50K a Year. What is it like to live in Tucson on $40K to $50K? A year. So we'll get into that. 790-2040. I wanted to, sometimes Tucson, this is just the way it is. Sometimes I come in and have a little bit of a brain dump for you to get your thoughts on. But something switched for me, I think, in my mind maybe last week. You know, initially, as we process through COVID-19, there was a 2-week, we strongly encourage you to stay out of restaurants, stay out of bars. The president started talking about an Easter reopening of the country. And I would say in the last week and a half, I think most of us have settled into the reality that we're in this for the long haul. Ideally, that looks like end of April, things open up. I doubt it. And I'm the most optimistic person you'll meet. I guarantee it. But I'm just looking at the trends of things. My encouragement, I'm a poser futurist, right? I like to look at trends and say, what does that mean for the future? My suggestion, if you're listening, is to plan through end of May. Plan for 3 months of this. Plan for the next 12 months. I don't think this is over soon. We're going to be okay. We're going to get through it. Most of us are going to remain healthy. But the aftershocks of this are going to continue for a long time to come. I would play the long game just to be prepared. Not to be down, not to be pessimistic, just because I love you and I want you to be the best you can be in Tucson. Plan for the long haul on this because it's not going away anytime soon. But I think for a lot of us, we got in this spot where we said, we're in this for the long haul. We're in this for the next month, staying at home, doing takeout, supporting businesses, trying to remain healthy, shifting everything online, virtual, right? We came out of it saying this is not just a two-week thing. We're in this for the long haul. And so my mind has started to think about this. And as always, I'm welcome to your thoughts. I looked up earlier this week and I went, wow, it's still election 2020. For about 2 or 3 weeks, we could have cared less that it's an election year, locally, statewide, nationwide. It just didn't matter. And well, it shouldn't, right? I mean, we have been in the thick of literal survival mode at a local, at a state, at a national level. We've been in kind of a race against time to pivot resources, programming our organizations. It's been kind of pedal to the metal, almost wartime in the feel of it. We haven't been thinking about election 2020 much, right? How many of us have thought about Joe Biden? How many of us have thought about the Republican National Convention? How many of us have been thinking about the DNC? How many of us have been thinking about, you know, Pima County supervisor races? I mean, it just faded into the background as well it should for a good period of time. But as we've settled into this mode of we're in it for the long haul, here's where my mind has shifted. And that is the world we lived in 3-4 weeks ago has changed for the next 18 to 24 months. The world we lived in 3-4 weeks ago will not be the same for 18 to 24 months. And again, that doesn't come from a place of pessimism. We're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. It's going to be fine. But the decisions I think we've had to make, and I'm supportive of most of them, to be honest, over the last couple of weeks, has drastically changed the world of our next 18 to 24 months. For me, that looped back to the election of 2020. That these are not side issues, or these are not the side of the issues that we're dealing with. My mind started to go here, that whoever we elect into office at any level right now, but I think especially locally, right, that's county or even state representation, those men and women are going to start sitting in seats where the next 18 to 24 months will call on them to act differently, think differently, do policy differently than maybe what they started out campaigning on or what they campaigned on to get them into their local seats. I would put the mayor and council in this as well. What is going to be required of our elected leadership is going to be a whole lot different than I think many of them thought they were thinking the next 18 to 24 months would look like. Right? Again, I'm not being pessimistic, but when we emerge from this, does anyone disagree that the economy will need to be restarted at the very best? Right? This idea we can turn the spigot on and off and it's the same before and after is just wrong. It's not how it works. We're going to have a strong economy after this. I believe that, but it's going to take some time. We just got job reports, right? 6.7 million people just claimed unemployment. Workers will need to find new jobs with good wages. Entrepreneurs and business owners, the ones that remain, that's a sad fact. Not everyone's going to get through this, will need support. Families will be stretched to their last pennies. Revenue for infrastructure and core services will be tighter than ever. Think about the fact that our city and our county is really based on sales tax revenue. If transactions are not being made, sales tax is not being generated. It's simple math. And in this time of 2 months of things being slower, it means smaller sales tax revenue. You thought budgets were tight before. They're tighter now than ever. I think surpluses will have turned into break-even budgets or deficits. This is not pessimism. This is math. This is how it works. And we'll get through it. And we'll be okay. We're going to be fine. But over the next 18 to 24 months, my forecast is that it's going to push our supervisors. It's going to push our mayor and council. It's going to push our state representatives. It's going to push our congressional representation to be very brass tacks, nuts and bolts oriented. It's going to force people to be focused on the economy, on jobs, on working families, on the issues that are core. And I think what got me thinking about this is starting to see, as more local candidates especially are starting to get out there, talk about their viewpoints. There is a county seat being run for, and I don't feel led at the moment to talk positions or names. My goal on this show has never been to call anyone or anything. I don't want to talk about issues. I want to talk about policy. I'll leave the rest for somebody else. But I was reading the other day that one local candidate said, look, I want to run for XYZ position because I care about the environment. I care about workers' rights. I care about protecting our community. And I think all of those things have value. But at a local level, our local leadership has a few simple jobs. A job to make sure that the economy is a platform for success. To make sure that our services and our roads and our infrastructure is on point. To make sure that the nuts and bolts, the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, the simple policy making of just laying out a foundation for our county, for our city, for our people to get good things done. To me, those issues have a level of importance, but they're not what we need our focus to be for the next 18 to 24 months. I think about, I remember I did a thing on, and it surprised a lot of people how I put it together, but I did a little spot on 1 million trees, right? I think about some of those initiatives. I can't see a future in the next 18 to 24 months where we're going to get to pay a trees coordinator in Tucson, where we're going to get to focus on 1 million trees. That's not a values assessment in Tucson. That's the fact that I just mentioned everything I mentioned. Like, we're going to have to be so focused on rebooting this economy, creating and filling jobs, workforce development, family incomes, housing access, the infrastructure, budgets. Think back. This is not the Great Recession, right? The Great Recession was structural. We're not in a structural economic challenge. This is a health problem, but it's going to force us to restart things. But think about how focused we got after the Great Recession, when we had less margin to play foul ball policymaking. When we had less margin for error, we had to make straightforward decisions. I think you saw that in the last 48 years more than you did before. We're in that time again. And so as I'm starting to see kind of some policy platforms and people coming out, my urging would be, Tucson, think about our policy making over the next 18 to 24 months in the lens of who's going to get in there and focus on the nuts and bolts. Not partisan priorities, not partisan pork, not philosophizing. I got so many friends philosophizing right now. We're in a crisis. Solve it. Focus on the nuts and bolts. Move on. We need that focus. And I'm worried, Tucson, that we're not going to get it, because we don't usually get that focus. We don't get the nuts and bolts priority policy making. And we need it right now more than ever. We went over a little bit normally where I go. I want to make John feel a little bit better and go to a commercial break. When we come back, I'll take your calls and thoughts on that. 790-2040. Talk about some other things. Rebecca Dieterman will be on the line in about 10 minutes. She was part of a Wall Street Journal profile about young professionals around the country. How are they living? How does $50,000 go for a young professional in Tucson? That's what we're going to talk about at the bottom of the hour. Tucson, don't go away. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Your source for trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Hi, this is Jason with Keller Williams Realty. Today I want to share a pricing strategy with you that I would call speculative. It's where we take a home's fair market value and we would speculate a bit above that price and hope that a buyer is going to come along and pay top dollar due to its unique demand. Stay tuned next week for another pricing tip. Call me if I can help with anything at 520-310-6761.
So many of you listening right now are leading a successful and growing business here in Tucson. You know it depends on finding and keeping the right talent. Doing it right can help you stand out and have an edge as a leading employment brand. Wing it, and you might see a great candidate head to a competitor. The Talent Store has helped local Tucson companies like yours win the battle for talent through their recruiting services and consulting. Whether you're looking for a high-level leader, filling a key position, or just want to retain and develop your current team, visit yourtalentstore.com today for a free consultation.
Tucson's source for trusted news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome back to Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. It's a pleasure and an honor and a privilege to be doing this every day with you. By the way, if you missed it, Wednesday was our one-year anniversary of being on weekday here. It's been 2.5 years of doing this show on 1030 The Voice. I get emotional kind of thinking about it. Radio was not on my radar, and it's way longer than I thought I'd be doing it, but I've fallen in love with this opportunity to get to be with you every day and to talk with you and to have a back-and-forth conversation on the air. So happy one-year anniversary to you, Tucson, for listening to this broadcast every morning, 9 to 10 on the air. I wanted to also share that this segment is sponsored in part by someone that I really admire in the community. That's Devin Underwood at the Talent Store. Across Tucson right now, employers, many of you are listening, are making decisions about where and how to keep current operations going, how to pivot focus, how to retain or reallocate your workforce, what resources are available to support them, and at the same time, you're applying for small business loans and emergency relief funding. You have a lot on your plate, and I would just encourage you, as someone who appreciates you as an employer, as a business in Tucson, consider the Talent Store to be your partner now or in the very near future to help guide decision-making around talent and workforce needs. If you're not worried about it now and you're looking towards when we come out of this, the Talent Store is pivoting some really important business resources to make your life easier. Don't be afraid to ask for help. The Talent Store is local. Devin Underwood is local and wants you to succeed. They've been a longtime sponsor partner of this show, and they're more important than ever. Visit yourtalentstore.com to learn more. I was talking to somebody yesterday who said, you know, boy, I just always seem to have, you know, meetings and stuff on Friday, and I don't know if I'm always my best on Friday. And I said, well, the filter is down usually on Friday, so maybe that's the best time to. I feel like that's how I am today. The filter is down just a little bit as we've wound our way through another wearying week. Ooh, that alliteration is good. We've wound our way through a wearying week. I'll use that again. And here at the end of it, sometimes we just end up throwing our hands up in the air and going, thank God it's the weekend. There's another W word. We're on a roll. But if you missed the first part of this hour, I talked about my concerns of what our community is going to face for the next 18 to 24 months. And do we have the current elected focus and current campaigning to be elected's focus on the real challenges of the next 18 to 24 months. We're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. We'll get through it together. I'm not a pessimist, but we have some real policy challenges, some real nuts and bolts policy making that we're going to need our leaders to be making. And I just wanted to put that on your radar, that we need to be asking for it and looking for it. Here's my other filter is down-ish thing going on today, and I'd love to get your thoughts just as a therapy session, if nothing else. 790-2040. Are you feeling resource overload? And here's what I'm asking. And such a blessing, by the way. Our community is amazing. So many groups have stepped up in their own way to meet a gap, to serve our community, keep our businesses going. But I got to a point yesterday where I just went, I can't take one more organization putting out one more site, combining the same resources that somebody else did. And I'm not being harsh. Like, hear me. I can't fit any more into my brain. I have no bandwidth. And I struggle with this tension of, in crisis, we all want to step up and step in. I run an organization. We're doing the same thing. I struggle with my role. I'm there with you. But I think in Tucson, we're not okay picking a leader and following that leader for a period of time. We all want to be the leader in some way at some point. And I just want us to be careful as a community that we don't have so many leaders that it creates noise, that it becomes ineffective. That's the Tucson pitch, right? Is it's okay to give somebody some credit and to say, I don't have to reinvent the wheel, go here, to make sure that the job we're trying to do actually gets done. And if you have a thought on this, give me a call. And I just got to a point yesterday where I'm like, there's now like five different organizations doing the same XYZ thing. And I just can't take it anymore. Like, I physically can't track any more resources, Tucson. I try. It's hard. I can't do it anymore. Oh, 790-2040. We've wound our way through another wearying week. I'm there. And it's just, it's hard. It's hard, Tucson. It's okay to follow some leadership. I don't mean elected, by the way. I mean, there's some like really kind of larger scale organizations have the opportunity to move some things forward. It's okay to follow them and say, you're our brand for the next 8 weeks. It's okay. Tucson, your demon is division, is siloing. Everybody wants their own piece of the pie instead of making a bigger pie. And in moments like this, it creates noise. Just be careful. And that's where I'm at. Hey, if you're on the line, I know that my next guest will be okay with this. We're bumping up against the bottom of the hour commercial. If you're on the line right now, can you hang for 3 or 4 minutes? I want to get to your call. We'll push out our guest just a touch to get to your call. I want to hear from you. But we're going to go to our bottom of the hour break, hear from some of our great sponsors. And when we come back, we'll take your calls. We'll talk to Rebecca Dieterman. She was profiled in a Wall Street Journal profile of, around the country, of what it's like to be a young professional in America today on $50,000 or less. She's a member of our community, and she was profiled. Tucson was one of the few profiled cities. She's on the air with us next. I'll take your calls in just a minute. We'll get to that interview. You're on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We'll be right back on Tipping Point.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
When did you lose control? Was it when you became a number and not a person? Or was it when you accepted that this is just the way things are? Truth is, you didn't lose control. You gave it up. Because you have a choice. You can make them too big to fail and fail to belong to something bigger. Or you can put your money where your values lie and make your community too strong to fail. The choice is yours. Or are you going to give that up too? Vantage West. Banks own you. You own us.
Federally insured by NCUA. WhyLoveWhereILive.com.
It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live.
Like so many local businesses right now, their physical location at the MSA Annex is dealing with changes to hours and operation, but I'm so proud of how they've pivoted to online sales and a virtual website tour of their brand new space so you can see what they're up to. Go to WhyLoveWhereILive.com right now and buy local to invest in the people that keep our economy going.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 1030 The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in. You are listening to 1030 The Voice. This is Tipping Point with me, your host, Zach Yenser. Every day, 9 to 10 in the morning, we talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. If you missed the first half of my show, I'd love for you to go back and listen to it on the podcast. Give it later today or early tomorrow morning. I talked about a couple of my concerns in the community right now, what I'm seeing. I think how the world's going to change in the next 18 to 24 months, what it's going to call on our leadership to do, and how we need to be willing and persistent in asking for the job that needs to be done and to be focused on. I also talked about how I'm starting to see Tucson in some ways start to become siloed off groups of leaders, where I think we need to be careful of how we create too much noise, and there can be too much resource overload right now in this season of trying to keep up with COVID-19. You got me on a Friday, Tucson. Sometimes the filter just goes just a little bit down, which is why I'm probably thankful. I'm not probably thankful. I am thankful to be able to switch over to talk to my friend Rebecca Dieterman. She was profiled by the Wall Street Journal, a nationwide profile for a series on how young professionals live across the country. Her part was called Tucson on $50K a year. Great to see your face in the Wall Street Journal, Rebecca. How are you today?
Hi, Zach. Thank you so much for having me today.
For sure. And you came on at a good time. I was on a roll, but I needed to stop. So thank you for being here.
Well, I'm happy to help and hopefully bring a little bit of light to your friend.
Oh, there was plenty of light. Don't worry. It's just, what was the W word, John? That we worked our way through another wearying week. You get me to the end, and sometimes the filter comes down just a little bit, just a little bit. Rebecca, obviously good to know you as a friend. You're a member of Tucson Young Professionals. We do that together. You work at the University of Arizona. And it was great to open Facebook and to see your face in a nationwide newspaper. Was that a weird feeling for you, by the way? Is it weird that your face was all over the country?
100%. The weirdest part was when my classmates from when I graduated from the University of Arizona in Chicago or in California, they also saw it in their newsfeed, because technology is incredible and marketing is great, where you know someone, it pops up in your marketing, and they would send me screenshots of like, why are you on my Instagram feed, or why are you in my Snapchat feed? And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I'm everywhere. This is weird.
Oh man. So I thought this was an interesting series the Wall Street Journal did, because they surveyed young professionals across the country to basically ask, look, we kind of know what the median wage is. We want to know what the experience is. We're not sure if it's enough. How are young professionals managing life today in entry-level to mid-level career? Was that kind of the sense you got as well from the author of this piece?
Definitely. So the author, Francesca, she was really great in just trying to figure out what what do you do to be successful and what do you need to be successful, and how do those two interact for where you're living? And she profiled a couple different areas, city in Texas, the city in the East Coast, West Coast, and obviously Tucson. And what was really great was that, one, I got to shed a light on how incredible Tucson is, but also really show our other individuals who read the Wall Street Journal how resilient young professionals are. I really think that we bring a lot to the table, and everyone's still trying to figure out, you know, what is a millennial in the workplace? And I think we're really, really strong, and we're really passionate, and we're hardworking. And so it was really great for me to say, hey, this is what it's like to be a young professional in Tucson, but also that, you know, we are here and we want to make the world a better place.
Before we get too far, Rebecca, tell me a little bit about yourself, some of the things that you're working on in our community, where you are employed. Kind of give us a snapshot of your current reality here in Tucson.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm actually from a really small town, Yuma, Arizona. So I grew up in a really small agriculture town, and then I came to the university to get my degree. And after that, I decided, you know what, one's not enough, I need two. So I went back and got my master's at the University of Arizona as well in business administration. And so from there, I was able to really find a career within the university, and I work in alumni relations. So I'm all about supporting our alumni. We have over 290,000 across the world. And what's really great is I get to really focus on the population of recent alumni. So those individuals who have just graduated or who are about to graduate and within the last 10 years. And so I'm there helping them with programming and making sure that they have the resources that they need to be successful. And if there's something down the pipeline that they want to see in the future, you know, I help to create that as well. As for what I'm doing in the university, or excuse me, within the community, I'm a member of Tucson Young Professionals, which is where I was able to meet you and your wonderful personality, which was just the best. And then I'm also involved in the Junior League of Tucson, and that was a new step for me, because I was trying to figure out, you know, what am I doing to make, you know, to kind of put my stamp on Tucson to leave it a better place. And through the friendships and the networking that I did through Tucson Young Professionals, it led me to the Junior League. And so those are the two big things that I'm involved with outside of my job.
You are, you mentioned, and we're going to get into more details about how you responded to the question, what is it like to be a young professional in Tucson, here in our second segment. But to kind of maybe keep setting the table, you work with alumni, you get to hear from a lot of alumni. Over the last few years, have you seen more young professionals give Tucson a second or third look coming out of the U of A? Are you seeing more young professional, 21 to 45 years of age, energy around Tucson being a place to call home? We've had that stereotype for a while that it's not. Are you seeing a shift, or what's your honest perspective on that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a certain spark and a certain spirit in Tucson, and as individuals are looking to see what they want to do next and where they fit in the world to make their passions become their careers, Tucson has definitely been able to offer those opportunities more and more. And it's because of the great work that we do with Tucson Young Professionals, or with educating other employers on how to keep young professionals in Tucson. I think it's multi-pronged, if you will, to make sure that young professionals feel as though they're A, wanted, and B, that they can see upward mobility here. And so I do see that young professionals want to stay, but I also think there's always room for improvement, and we can always make it better. You know what I mean? And so, I have seen them stay, or I've seen them actually come back. You know,
for
they
sure.
may have wanted to for a short time to maybe see a new place. You know, what if they lived in Arizona their entire lives, and you know, they want to see the world or see a different part of the country, but then they say, you know what, no, I want to come back to Arizona. There's something about Arizona, there's something about Tucson that's where I'm meant to be.
Right.
So I definitely think there's a lot of opportunity here.
Agreed. Again, something that we want to cover in the second segment. I want to get your answers to the questions that were asked of you specifically about Tucson, living on Tucson, $50,000 a year. How's it going? That was the general, you know, stream of questions. But before we go to our first break, what were some of the things that the Wall Street Journal was trying to what was the data they were trying to collect? What were the stories they were trying to tell across the different cities? What were some of the themes they were trying to figure out about what it means to be a young professional today, entry to mid-level career, whether you're East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, Tucson?
Definitely, what do we spend our money on? I think that they were really curious of, okay, if you have $50,000 or less, you know, what are your priorities? What are you really focusing on, and where do you want to go next, or how do you want to grow as an individual? And so they asked things about how often do I eat out? How often do I have to pay for parking? Is there public transportation, or can I drive myself? Also different things of, you know, what does a Friday and a Saturday look like for you? And I think they were really trying to paint a picture of, you know, what does a young professional look like today? Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of comparisons that way. And as I read the articles from my peers, it was very clear that we had similar themes of, you know, hardworking, making sure that, you know, we were grinding, if you will, in the workplace, and you know, really wanting to put our foot down with the work that we produced, but that we were also still trying to figure out what it's like to be out in the real world. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're all trying to still figure it out, and we all spent our money on different things. Some people spent it more on parking. I got to spend it more on, you know, supporting our local restaurants here in Tucson, and I made sure that they knew that I loved the Mexican food here.
I love it. When we come back from our break here, I want to dig into some of the more specifics of your answers to that. Give us a glimpse of what it's like to be young professional in Tucson. What's great? What could be better? But final question, Rebecca. This is the most serious one of the whole segment. Avocado toast, overrated or underrated?
You know, I'm not a big fan of breakfast. It's a weird thing for me.
You just skirted the question, but okay.
Yeah. Sorry. It looks really good on Instagram. So okay. We'll go with that.
So we'll go with overrated because Rebecca Dieterman does not do breakfast. I love it. When we come back, we're going to dig into details. Talk about Tucson. Talk about what it means to be a young professional here. How do we keep people? Make sure that people like Rebecca Dieterman stay long term. That's our next segment. We'll be right back.
We're Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Over the last couple of weeks, there have been a variety of both state and federal emergency funds set up to help individuals and businesses survive COVID-19. To make sure you have the best opportunity to access these resources and apply for business loans and more, you're encouraged to get your taxes in and to do it with the help of a tax professional. Give Shanae and her team at Simply Bookkeeping and Taxes a call at 520-838-0856 to get started. Tell her you heard it on Tipping Point for 50% off.
In today's weird and uncertain times, it's easy to just want to pull back and wait out the market. But if you're in the market to buy or sell a home, don't forget that the market you buy in is the market you sell in, and everyone's in the same market right now. So this might be exactly the time to make that move you've been planning. Give realtor Jason Carlton with Keller Williams a call to discuss your options and make the right choices right now. 520-310-6761.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Tucson, welcome on back in. These are challenging and uncertain times, and all over Tucson, employers are faced with difficult decisions around workforce. As shifts are made, there are key and critical positions to still hire for and a massive applicants to wade through. While you're busy shifting your operations, service, and product focus right now during COVID-19, let Devin Underwood and her team handle recruiting for you. From advertising to wading through applicants, managing communication, and vetting for the best fit, the talent store right here in Tucson can take that off your plate so you're teed up with the top 3 to 5 candidates to interview and select between them. The talent store is now offering their placement services at a discount to best support Tucson employers through this unprecedented time. This segment is supported by the talent store. You can find them at yourtalentstore.com. Yourtalentstore.com is local. Devin Underwood is local and here for you. Speaking of workforce, my guest on the air right now is Rebecca Dieterman. She was profiled by the Wall Street Journal in a series they did around the country of what it means to be a young professional today. And out of all the cities and all the places they could have picked, one of the very few they landed on was Tucson. And so there is Rebecca's face all over the country, Tucson, on $50K a year. Rebecca Dieterman, what's it like to live in Tucson on $50K a year?
Oh, wow. It is a unique challenge, if I'm being honest. And
please do.
Here. You know, I think there is this understanding that Tucson is super affordable and lower cost of living in comparison to other cities. But I also think that there are things that young professionals want to start building and they're very aware of. And so it can make it a challenge at times. That's for sure.
You know, that was one of the things I was curious to get your thoughts on. We're going to cover a lot of ground here in the next few minutes, but it's been said about Tucson. Tucson's cost of living is low, and housing is cheaper, and so you can live here on less. I feel like that's changing in Tucson, don't you? That landscape is shifting. People are still saying it, but I don't feel like it's as true as it once was. Do you agree or disagree?
100%. I definitely agree. You know, rent. I think rent is fluctuating a little bit more and increasing definitely. But if you want to purchase a home or if you want to kind of make your stand, it is expensive in comparison to what our peers are making to get a nice home or to live in a part of the town that, you know, is next to the things that you enjoy or where you want to, you know, build your community. Tucson's really big. And so if you're trying to figure out where you want to live within Tucson and the type of home or community that you want to live in, it's not always the cheapest option or least expensive option, that's for sure.
Right. Do you, I'm not going to ask where you live, we're on the air, I want to protect that, but do you live in Tucson where you'd like to live in Tucson, or would you live in a different part if you felt you could afford it or you were prepared financially to make that longer term move?
It took me a while to get there, but I do live where I love now. I think I've been a young professional in Tucson for about 4 years, and I definitely lived in different areas that were affordable for that time. And as I started to figure out where I wanted to live and what my community would look like, one, it took me a moment to really understand Tucson and understand what the opportunities were for living. But I am happy to say I'm extremely happy with where I'm at now. And, really, the chips fell so well for me to be able to find my home and to find, you know, the place that I call mine. But it took a while. It wasn't like I could go on some app or, you know, a website mm-hmm. and put in a special magic. I had to definitely like look and search and wait.
Right.
And that's kind of for young professionals, right? We patience isn't always our favorite.
Yeah, we're not always the best at that, but we're with Rebecca Dieterman on the line. She's a young professional, works at the University of Arizona, was featured in the Wall Street Journal, profiling a nationwide series on how young professionals live across the country. A couple more rapid-fire questions for you, Rebecca. A lot of people are saying, you know, hey, young professionals still want, you know, that kind of larger house in the suburbs or exurbs, and downtown's overrated, or some will say, no, it's all about downtown. All young professionals want is to live in walking distance to every single service imaginable. The suburbs are dead. What did you see across the country in this Wall Street Journal series? And how do you feel about that in Tucson? What does an actual young professional think about what we want out of where we live and the services we're looking for? Give us the conclusive answer, Rebecca.
Inclusive. Wow, that's tough, right? Because we are such a large group of individuals, first and foremost. And within that large group of individuals, there are different trends that are popular for different areas. And I do think that in a city, in a big bustling city on the East Coast, or you know, you want to be in walking distance to things, and public transportation is really important because why do you have a car? And that's definitely what other young professionals are doing. But in comparison to Tucson, because it is so unique and it is so vast in just the amount of land that Tucson has, you can really figure out what your priorities are. And I also think what's unique is a lot of young professionals here are starting to figure out, you know, what is a family look like for them, or are they going to be an individual who, or are they going to, you know, have a family that doesn't necessarily have children? They want to have pets, and based on those types of decisions, that might change where they want to live within Tucson. I have tons of peers who live downtown, but I also have a lot of peers who really, really love the desert landscape, and they would rather see that in their backyard than, you know, a high rise. And so, I don't want to say one is better than the other. I just think what's really great is Tucson has it all. And so depending on where you're at, or if your priorities and your interests change, you can still stay in Tucson and be successful, but have the home life that you want.
Right. So maybe the answer is not trying to pigeonhole an entire group of people into one answer, but provide both reasonably well. Sounds like, yeah. We've this is the question I really want to get to if we get to nothing else, and that is, what is the one thing that keeps you in Tucson, Rebecca, as a young professional living on $50,000 here, featured by the Wall Street Journal in this nationwide series? And what's the one thing down the road that might push you to consider somewhere else? What's keeping you here? What would push you out?
What is keeping me here, and the easiest question definitely of today, is my network. You know, my network is strong. The people that I've met, the community that I've built, they're who I lean on. And that is what is keeping me in Tucson. You know, if I wanted to wake up tomorrow and do something totally different, I know I'd have the support of my network for that. And being involved in the community and in these different groups has allowed me to be able to do that. But what would push me or challenge me to leave? I would have to say a really, really sparkling, incredible, you know, next step in my career. But slowly but surely, Tucson has been putting those opportunities in front of me. And so I don't know if that necessarily means I'm going to need to leave, because like I said a little bit earlier, is that Tucson has been really great of one, educating employers on what young professionals need, but also creating more of those opportunities. And so the more that, you know, Tucson employers educate themselves on how to offer what young professionals want and need, I think there's also going to be a shift of individuals who continue to stay because there's going to be that upward mobility.
Right. So what I'm hearing is that it's the network that's keeping you here. The only thing that would start to, you know, kind of get into your head a little bit down the road is if you didn't feel like there was upward mobility and you didn't feel like there was opportunity. Those are two priorities for you in considering Tucson long term. For now, you feel good about it, But if that changes, that would be the decision point, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, yeah, you're definitely right. I also think that, you know, being a young professional, I'm always trying to figure out what is my own next step to get towards my personal goals or towards my overall passions and making those come to life. And so if those opportunities were in a different location, I would definitely need to really consider them. But right now, like you had mentioned, Tucson's been doing a really great job of bringing those to light here. And so, and I have to thank my network for being able there to, being there to support me for those things too.
We've got about a minute and a half, Rebecca. Would you say that shift has happened in the last maybe 5 to 8 years? What you're talking about?
I would say yes, because I've been in the young professional realm within Tucson for the last 4.
Okay.
And so it has been something that I've always felt in Tucson, and it has definitely been a part of all of our conversations, whether it be with our employers or with other individuals who want to learn more about the Tucson community and employing young professionals. And so I'm happy to say that it is what I've known here in Tucson. So it's been a really positive experience.
20 seconds, Rebecca. Anything you would change? Magic wand, you'd change it today. What would it be?
Oh, dear. That is tough.
let me do this. I'll give you a second to think about it. In the meantime, I want to point people to the article, WSJ.com. Search Tucson on 50K a year. They can read your whole profile and some of your questions to some answers we couldn't even get to today. WSJ.com. There, I stalled, Rebecca. What's your magic wand answer?
My magic wand answer is I would really hope that young professionals and employers of all different types would continue to have a growth mindset, mm-hmm. because I think that is what's going to make Tucson, you know, lasting and great. And so, yeah, growth mindset and opportunities.
Rebecca, thank you so much for jumping on the line with us. And thanks for representing Tucson across the entire country in this nationwide series. We appreciate you.
Thanks.
Have a great weekend, Rebecca. Have a great weekend, everybody. Tipping Point returns 9 a.m. on Monday. Stay healthy. Take care.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.